We're going to cut in here and go to Dine Rosales. Hey, Dine.
Rick, Dallas Stevie is on Front Street. He is 26 years old, the youngest Iditarod musher to win the Iditarod, and he's coming in for his second win. He's on his way to the World Arch right now.
Okay, I'm going to hold on to you just a second here. Do you see anybody up behind him? That would be Allie. Anything close?
We are checking. Allie Zirkel is still not up on Front Street. We are by the subway, so the houses are blocking our view, but we will keep you updated.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to try to take a shot and go down to Front Street and see if Lorelei is there. Lorelei?
Hey, Rick, I am here at the finish line. We see the cop, the police lights.
You got the
heading
rollers
this way.
That's
and
great.
I see Dallas CV running down Front Street at this point. And the dogs in front of him, we have a record-setting pace this morning. Luck played a huge part in the 2014 Iditarod. Dallas CV was not expected to win. He was third to depart White Mountain this morning behind Allie Zirkel and Jeff King. Of course, we all know the news. Jeff King scratched 22 miles outside of Nome, really proving that anything can happen in the race for sure. Dallas is running. There's a big crowd here on Front Street. Mark Nordman is here to greet the winner, the 2014 champion for Iditarod 42. Here he comes through the chute, running with his dogs. His wife is standing in front of me clapping. Bib number 14, hear the crowd. Dallas is nearing the arch. Here he comes with his team. And he has finished the 2014 Iditarod. He's sitting on his sled at this point, taking his bib and his hat off, very hot from running all the way, from racing, from safety this morning.
Hey, you.
A big hug from his wife.
Ian, you want to get Reef out of the sled here?
I got...
What's that? Thank you.
He has a dog in the sled bag. He just got up from his sled at this point, and everyone's cheering for him. There's a huge crowd out here. He's petting down his team at this point, petting down the wheel dogs.
Did you do this?
Well, what exactly did I do?
You just won the Iditarod 2014.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, dude.
That is my dad behind me.
Right?
Where's Jeff and Allie?
Behind you.
Huh. Well, that's one heck of a run, man.
You think?
Hey, guess what, Gunner? I didn't even know. I just run my team, dude. What did I tell you, huh?
Right?
Run your dogs. Oh, heck yeah.
Aside, because Allie Zirkel is coming up right behind him. Her headlamp is in the chute. The dogs are pulling in. We haven't even checked in Dallas at this point, and Allie Zirkel is coming to the chute in second place yet again, the third time in a row. Her lead dogs are pulling up. She has finished the 2014 Iditarod. The crowd. Allie Zirkel, bib number 10, finishes the 2014 Iditarod in second place. A big hug from Dallas Stevie. She has shown major class throughout this trail.
Going to go down in infamy, don't you think? Just you're like 2 minutes behind, if that.
be honest, she's pretty overcome with emotion at this point, realizing that she was just a few minutes yet again from Iditarod victory, something that has eluded her in the past, well, 3 years now. She's come in second place. 2012, 2013, and 2014, first by Dallas Seavey, last year by Mitch Seavey, and again by Dallas Seavey in the 2014 race.
Oh my God.
A lot of her handlers and friends are here. People are still cheering for her. I will say that we have two dog teams here at the shoot in Front Street, first and second place for the 2014 Iditarod, bib number 14, Dallas Seavey, bib number 10, Allie Zirkel, Jeff Schultz and Bob Hallinan, and Deanna Hacker are both getting a photo opportunity with Dallas and his lead dog. Dallas, which dog is this?
This is Beetle here in lead, and his buddy Reef ran with him quite a bit in lead. Those are my two boys for the last half of the Iditarod, and mm-hmm. Reef's only 2 years old, and Beetle's been my old war horse for a long time now, so they make a massive combo.
When you woke up this morning in White Mountain, or when you woke up from your eight-hour layover taking a rest, did you imagine this at all?
No, not at all. In fact, I saw a headlight behind me, and I thought it was my dad. And I crossed the finish line, and I thought, well, I got third. I can be proud of that. It took me about a minute after being here to realize I won the Iditarod. But you know, it's kind of ironic. The whole way I've just been talking about running my team and ignore everybody else. If you do good things by your team, good things will happen, you know? Winning is an effect. It's a result, not a cause. You go out there and you do all the right things with a dog team and winning will happen. You don't go out to win.
All right, we're gonna do some ceremony here at the shoot on Front Street. They're pulling Dallas to officially check him in. He hasn't officially been checked into Nome, the final checkpoint, the finish line of the Iditarod Trail. Being checked in, finding all the gear.
All right. Oh, and here we got booties. I got a bunch more booties in my vet bag.
Yep.
Promotional material is right here.
Yes, sir.
Promotional material, yep, I'll take
got
it.
It.
There you go.
Leo Rasmussen checking him in this morning.
Sleeping bag. Need an axe.
Got the axe.
Axe.
Vet book.
Vet book is here.
Heat's in the cooker. What else do we need?
Movies.
He's got that. I saw those, Leo.
Good. Losing the lion. We got a signature here, and that officially brings you off of the trail for Iditarod 42, the first of many to go, but the most important position by any means. Mr. Seavey, Dallas Seavey, arriving here on the 11th at 4:04 a.m. local time. Everything required in his sled has arrived here in Nome. On 8 days, 13 hours, 4 minutes, and 19 seconds, hail, warm, and congratulatory. Thanks for completing Iditarod 32, again a champion of Iditarod.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dallas Seavey, I'm here.
We have someone who broke the record, a history-making run in 2014 from Dallas Seavey. Again, the previous record was 8 days, 18 hours, 46 minutes, and 39 seconds. Dallas smashed that record, and so did Allie, for that matter. He gets a handshake from Mayor Denise Michaels.
Okay, I don't know, 10, 15 hours ago, what were your thoughts about winning this race? Did you think you could get here first?
My thoughts was I ran a really good race with an awesome dog team, and you know, and my thought in White Mountain is this was a success. We've had a good year, had a good race. I think we've done right by the dogs. And I'm happy with third, fourth year in a row in the top five. It's consistent. Winning was not even in the back of my mind.
And I know you're a bit of a historian of this event. How bizarre, and what a turnaround it's been in these hours, huh?
Well, these hours, you know, I think it just brings home the point that I've been saying this whole way. Just race your dog team, forget the competition. I didn't know I'd won until after more than a minute after I crossed the finish line. I thought I'd just beat my dad across the finish line for third. I had no idea.
I guess all the years of working out and always saying that you had to keep yourself in great physical condition, it really paid off in this race down the stretch, didn't it?
You know, yeah, being in shape helps, but, you know, I'm not going to say for a second I'm in better shape than Allie. Have you seen the guns on her?
Yeah.
And I know better than say anything else. The truth of it is, this dog team was a massive dog team that was young with a lot of potential, and it was a smart race that got us here first. It wasn't my athletic ability. This trail favored canine athletes, not human athletes. You can run at 9 miles an hour in soft trails. You can't run at 10, 11, 12 on these things.
You've got your second Iditarod championship, Dallas. Is it too early to sum up what that means tonight?
It means my dad only had bragging rights for a year. No, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, it just hit me a minute ago that I won the dang thing. I don't know what it means. It means that we're doing things right. It means that once again I've had the honor of driving the best dog team in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Dallas Seavey. Let them hear it.
Again, we have a record-breaking time. Can we have the official time again for Dallas Seavey and his finish?
8 days, 13 hours, 4 minutes and 19 seconds.
So we have a record.
Oh, it's a record. In fact, it's going to be a record for a while here by the looks of it. So I depending on who comes in from here on. Right. But, you know, in all the 42 years we've been doing this, we've had records about every third year, starting with 20 days, if you can imagine. That first race, the first musher came in. Here we are down to less than 9 days and almost halfway again, another day shorter. So it's a phenomenal event. We've come an awful long ways. We've learned an awful lot, and the animals that are coming off the trail are 10 times better off today than they were in 1973.
Great. Thanks, Leo. Leo Rasmussen of Nome. Dallas Seavey is being presented with a check from Wells Fargo, $50,400. We have Scott Johnson presenting the check to him.
Perfect. A wave to the crowd. Give him a wave, Dallas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Front Street of Nome. We've got Dallas Seavey, the brand new champion of the 42nd Iditarod, along with Scott Johnson with Wells Fargo for a very big check presentation. Scott?
Dallas, what a tremendous race and finish. Congratulations. And welcome to Nome. You and your dogs show great tenacity and resilience along the trail. Everyone who follows the Iditarod realizes the time, commitment, and spirit required to get to this point. And your dog team worked extremely hard and stayed focused despite many challenges along the way. You have definitely earned the right to be called Iditarod 42 champion. On behalf of Wells Fargo, I'd like to present you with this big, big check for $50,400, and we look forward to honoring you at the Finishers Banquet on Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, Dallas Seavey, your Iditarod 42 2014 champion.
So I sure appreciate you guys supporting the Iditarod and all of us mushers out here.
Absolutely. Great job.
All right, Scott Johnson from Wells Fargo. Thank you. And now
okay, Dallas's team, they're being presented with the yellow roses. We have Beetle on his right. And I think it's his brother on his left. There's still a big crowd here. Run from White Mountain.
Tough one, I guess.
Yeah.
let's just go home, boys. We've done our work here. Let's go. And I saw a light when I was about at top or at Cape Nome, a little after that. And I was thinking, how'd my dad catch up with me? You know, he was 2 hours behind me. This is going to be a race for third now. So I raced him in here. And then this is an awfully big crowd for being 4 hours after the winner. And maybe Mushing's getting more popular. But then I started hearing on the loudspeaker, you know, second championship. And somebody said, congratulations. And I said, what for? You just won the Iditarod. I'm like, all right. The best surprise I've ever had.
Now this was birthday. This was one of the toughest races ever, from the beginning and all the way to the end. From what we've heard, a lot of wind out there this morning. What did you see this morning?
I was thinking today, as we were coming in here, well, now we've seen it all. We've got the big wind. We had everything else. We had cold. We had warm. We had dirt. We had snow. We had, you know, everything you can imagine, all the worst aspects of the Iditarod except for wind. And I'm like, well, we got it today, you know? So this was every aspect of the Iditarod, and this was the best field we've ever seen in the Iditarod. And I mean, I was planning on congratulating Jeff when I got here and winning the toughest Iditarod ever. And I was thinking at the beginning of the race, I told my wife, you know, whoever wins this one, there will be no doubt is the best dog driver in the world. Because this has everybody. You can't say, well, the Norwegians weren't here, or, you know, Hans had retired, or Jeff had retired. We were all here. So it hasn't sunk in, but it's going to mean a lot.
And it also says a lot about your dogs. Very versatile if they could handle all those conditions that you faced out there. Talk about your team.
You know, that's a huge aspect of racing the Iditarod is, you know, some people can train a dog team for a fast trail. Some people can train it for a slow trail. My goal is to have a dog team for every trail. Train an all-around team that can win on anything. And I think that's what we've been seeing by my goal of being trying to be consistent, you know, top five every year. This is my fourth year in a row in the top five. That means as much to me as anything. That means we're accomplishing the goal of training a dog team for every task. And, shoot, you know, we won on a fast trail this year. I've never considered my team a fast team, but I think it was a... We had one of the most conservative schedules in this race in the beginning, and I think that's what made the difference on this fast trail. So you gotta know how to adapt.
You shocked as everybody else's how close this was?
What's that?
You shocked as everybody else's how close this was?
Oh, I'm absolutely shocked. That I saw Allie's name on the check-in list at safety, but their power was out, and I saw them pass me trying to get through. I knew that things were a bit of disarray there, so I figured they just wrote Jeff down on a different sheet of paper or something like that. Didn't think anything of it, and I was seriously thinking about camping and safety. Wow. These are young dogs, and I said this was a tough run. We had a tough run yesterday. I just want to do what's right for the dog, and I said, you know, at the end of the day, what's the best thing to get them to the finish line as fast as they can, and do it in a way that's healthy, and, you know, cross the finish line with zero fuel. So I ran the last 22 miles as a training run for young guys like Reef here, because you want to push them, but they need to learn that they can do it. You never push them beyond their limits, but you let them learn that their limits are larger than they thought.
Dallas, give us a sense of what the weather was like out there.
Hellacious. I mean, there's more than once I said, you have got to be kidding me. This is absolutely ridiculous. We're getting blown in circles. I mean, Beetle did 99% of the leading. I put Reef up there a couple times just to give Beetle a little break. Reef is not too sharp on the steering just yet, but he is an athlete beyond all athletes, and that's where I can teach him how to steer as long as he has the legs to do it, and that's the key. So we had so much nasty weather. I mean, there were times that I parked my sled to walk up to the dogs, and my sled just flat blew over, and it's tumbling off. At one point, we got blown out onto the sea ice, all the way over the windbreak, or the whatever that break is, and out on the ice. And it took me about 10 minutes to get everybody lined up, and it was literally one step at a time, head into the wind, leaning at least a 45-degree angle. I mean, my hands were touching the ground for about 100, 150 yards to get them back straight into the wind on the other side of the dam. I thought we were going to Russia.
Ever think about stopping?
I thought about stopping in safety, because I knew I wasn't racing for first, and I wanted to just do whatever was best for the team. But I concluded that this was a good learning experience, and they were capable of doing what we were here to do. Okay, I'm glad I didn't stop.
Come here, buddy. Can you explain, you know, your strategy, you know, in the middle third of the race, you know, not taking the 8-hour layover till crowd tag, and do you think that kind of banks some energy for later on in the race?
I think the 8-hour layover was the mindset. minor point. The major point was we rested so much that we didn't need an 8-hour layover until late in the race. And my goal for the last several years is to have the fastest team on the coast, because that's where you can make up huge time. I told my wife before the race, I'm comfortable with a 6-hour deficit in Caltech. I know teams are going to go fast. I know I'm going to be behind, but 6 hours I can do. And when we got there, you know, we had more like 8 or 9. And I was like, well, not this year. If we had deep snow, maybe. But it's about running a fast race the whole way and running a steady race. Our speed never tapered. We accelerated at the end.
All right, Dallas, what we're going to do here is we're going to have Simon.
Mark Nordman approaches Dallas TV.
Simon? Ready?
Yeah. Just pick him up and set him down gently, especially this guy here.
What up?
Just pick him up and set him down gently. He's asleep.
There we go. All right.
Again, 2014 champion is Dallas CV, two-time champion now, and now the record holder for the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. Quite the morning here for Iditarod 2014. Thanks so much for tuning in to KNOM Radio. Keep it tuned here. We'll be bringing you live interviews with the top 20 finishers for Iditarod 42. Thanks so much for tuning in. Reporting live on Front Street, I'm Lorelei Kinnean.